And to the rest of us, whether we're on Facebook Live this morning or here, want to welcome you. Thank you for coming and being part of our worship service. I want to say this before I forget it. Actually, two things. Each year it's getting more and more expensive to ship the boxes, and we all understand that because everything is more and more expensive. And so some boxes haven't got shipping attached to them yet. Some have helped financially with shipping, and some more will. But if you would like to sponsor a couple boxes or five boxes, they're 10 bucks a piece, right, Jess? If you would like to sponsor any of the boxes that don't have shipping, we would welcome that. And the church will take care of what isn't covered, but if you would like to sponsor a box or two or five, we would surely welcome that. See Jessica, Casey, myself, just let us know. Yeah, I'll sponsor two or four or whatever, and so we know what's sponsored, what's covered, and what isn't. Excuse me. The other thing, next Sunday already is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and what we have been doing for a lot of years, I will have a little word for us, but next Sunday I want to open it up to you again. We will literally hand you the mic and ask you to tell us what you're thankful for. So you think about that now, because next Sunday we're going to do that in our earlier services, and then the evening Pastor Chuck Chafin will bring us the message on Thanksgiving that evening. So those things are coming up. Fun things to think about. Now, if you got your Bible, turn to Luke 15. And those of you that have read Luke lately, you're very well aware of what Luke 15 is. It's the response of Jesus to the Pharisees' attitude that says, look at this guy sitting and eating with sinners and tax collectors. So he's got three parables. I'm going to turn to the third parable again, Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. And I know that you know something about the prodigal story. At least you've heard something about the prodigal son. And I know that you've heard me refer to it from time to time. And typically, when we focus on this third parable of Jesus' response to the Pharisees, we typically focus on the younger son and the grace of God, which we should, because it's part of the story. But the other day, I was reading an article, and it challenged me to think about which son are we really like? Which son am I really like? Which son are you like? Which son is the church today really like? And so as I read through that parable again, I was challenged with some questions that I want us to think about. Remember the attitude of the second son? We'll get to the story in just a minute. The one that was angry and bitter and resentful because the little brother came back to the father. Now, this is a parable, and so it's got an earthly flavor in the story, but it's got a spiritual meaning. And at the end of the story, it was the older brother who was the angry one, the bitter one, the resentful one. And apparently, according to the story, works and pride driven. And I wondered as I read this story, if we in the church today, we get angry, excuse me, if we get angry at the amazing grace of God when the vilest of sinners comes to faith in Christ, am I upset about that? Because that's how the son was. And I wonder sometimes, do I resent the fact that God's grace is available to those wretched tax collector types? The Pharisees resented that because this story was about the grace of God and their attitude and their unwillingness to come in and be part of the feast. And I wonder, do I resent the grace of God and then refuse also to come into the party as the older son did? And I thought about this. Do I go through life with religion, but never come to the party? Because that's how the Pharisees were. In this story, the older son represents the Pharisees, those religious elite that were challenging Jesus. What do you mean sitting here eating with tax collectors and sinners? And so the parable about the dad and the boys has a spiritual meaning about the grace of God, and yet some, the unwillingness to come into the feast and come in to the fellowship and the party. And I wonder today, sometimes do we in the church have the attitude of the elder son, letting anger and bitterness and resentment lead us in who we are? Luke 15, I'm reading from the New King James Version, picking it up at verse 11. I've mentioned already, I'll say it again, this is a parable, again, has an earthly flavor that they can connect to, but it's got a spiritual meaning. Then he said, this is Jesus telling the story, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. So he, that's the dad, divided to them, that's the boys, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he, that's the younger son, would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Earthly flavor, spiritual meaning. Now think of the setting here. Think of what the listeners are saying. He's speaking to the Pharisees in response of verse 1 and 2. You got to go back up a little bit in Luke 15, but in verse 1 and 2, they were aghast that this guy who alleged to be God's representative, the Messiah, the Son of God, would sit and eat with tax collectors and sinners. And so he begins to paint this story about the vilest, this nastiness, this guy living and wasting his inheritance on harlots, and then scooping so low as to live among the pigs. Jews had nothing to do with swine. Live amongst them to feed them. And so look at the setting that Jesus was painting for them. This nasty person, he's setting the stage for them to understand the grace of God. And then the story takes a turn. Jesus said, but when he, that's the younger son, came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. And in coming to himself, he comes to this realization, to this point. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He came to his senses and realized, I desperately need the grace and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Dad. And I'm going to come back to him and say, I'm not worthy to be your son any way, shape, or form, but make me as a servant. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Hallelujah. Is that not good news? I think we know this story, and I think we all realize it's the result of the comments from the religious elite who were condemning Christ, I mentioned that already, for eating and having conversation with sinners. And Jesus responds to those accusations with this story of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. That's what the Father wants to offer to all of us. And so we see in this story, the story of grace, reaching out in this case into the cesspools and the sewers of life to rescue sinners. I say hallelujah. This story is in response to that attitude, they don't deserve the grace of God. This story is a response to the Pharisees and the religious elite that questions his motives. Apparently, they had forgotten the words that said, he came for the sick. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. This story is a response to that. And friends, I remind us again before I get to the second part of the story, the grace of God is willing, is longing to see sinners come to repentance and to salvation in Jesus Christ. He is longing for that. Remember those of you that were here last week, we looked at the parable from Matthew 22. He sent out three invitations and basically was pleading with come into the feast. And we saw the excuses. They were not willing. They ignored the invitations. They killed some of the messengers. They were too busy. We saw it all, but we saw the grace of God willing to reach out into the highways and byways. And he said, go invite the good, go invite the bad. This is the same scenario. The grace of God is available to rescue sinners. The problem is the attitude of the older son, represented by the Pharisees of the day, the religious elite of the day, and maybe some in the church today. The story goes on. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and he asked about what these things meant. And he, that's the servant, said to him, your brother has come, and because he, that's the dad, has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now one would think that would be cause for rejoicing. Amen? But it wasn't in the case of the old brother. Jesus in the story said he was angry. He wouldn't go in. And if that wasn't enough of a scene of grace and mercy and love, look what he says. Look what Jesus says in the very next. Therefore, his father came out of the feast, came out of the party, went to the older son, and he said, therefore, his father came out and he pleaded with him. Pleaded with him. We saw it last week in the parable of the feast and the invitations. Come into the feast. God is wanting, he's longing for, he's pleading for people to come to Christ. His father came out and pleaded with him, that's the older son. And so he, that's the older son, answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came," and as if the father didn't realize where the son had come from, the older son was quick to remind, "This son of yours who came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You kill the fatted calf for him?" And this is the reply of the father to the son, the older son. He said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, spiritually speaking, and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." That's a great story. Amen? And at this point in the story, the question must be asked, which son now is the prodigal? Was Jesus speaking to those Pharisees and religious types that were unwilling to come in? I think he was. Very obviously, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees about the grace of God, willing to reach into the cesspools of life and rescue sinners. That's crystal clear. And I believe Jesus is likening the Pharisees now to the older son who refused to come in and join the party. They refused to come into this place. Even with the pleading of the prophets, even with the pleading of the son, the Pharisees and the religious types are refusing to come in and join the party. Yes, I believe Jesus is speaking to those who assume that they are in right favor with God because they have been in tune with the commands of God. In their minds, we have been good and yet refuse to come into the party. They were stuck in their religion. They were stuck in their "what I have done right," and refused the offer of grace from the Son of God to come into the party. And as I read this story the other day, I was wondering, have there been times in my life, are there people in the church today with the same attitude, thinking that the religion that I've been part of is good enough, thinking that my goodness is good enough, and yet in my innermost thoughts, in my heart, mad at the grace of God being extended to the vilest of sinners? Are people in the church like that today? I think we know the answers. And so I pondered, which son are we really like? Have you realized, whether you're listening today or whether you're here today, have you realized that you are doomed to eternity apart from God unless we come to our spiritual senses and come back to the Father in humility and surrender and say, Father, forgive me, I have sinned against you. Do we realize we're doomed, starving to death, feeding the pigs in the way I'm going, and we need to come back to the Father and experience his grace? Have we come to the Father and received the Son like this son did, or are we more like the older son? I don't know what all was going through the older son's mind, but I know this. He was mad. He was mad at the grace of God. He was mad that his dad would welcome back in this nasty little brother who wasted all of his inheritance on prodigal living, living with harlots, he said. He was mad that the father would welcome him back in, put the robe on him, put a ring on him, put sandals on him, and throw him a party. And not only was he mad at the grace of God being extended to the vilest of sinners, he then refused to come in. The older son, like the Pharisees, and perhaps some in the 21st century church, were serving his dad out of duty with an absence of love. And I wonder today how many of us in the church are in church because of some sort of duty. Well, I got to make my wife happy, I suppose. Or my husband, or my kids, or my parents, or the pastor. Well, I got to check that off the list for the week. I wondered how many of us sometimes sit in the churches on Sunday mornings out of some sort of duty rather than a passionate love for Jesus and a complete love for God. Because if that's why we're here, we may as well not come. And that's how the older son was, serving out of duty. Well, I kept the commands, the Pharisees would say. I wonder sometimes, and all we have to do is look around life and we see the sin and the hurt and the mayhem and the madness. And I wonder sometimes if we get angry in the church over a sinner coming to faith in Christ that was a murderer or drug dealer or demon-possessed. I wonder if we're sometimes like the Pharisees and we're all put out by the grace of God that's extended to the pedophile or sexually confused or drug dealer. Because that's the story that's being painted here in the second half. Angry because of the grace of God, willing to reach into the cesspool of life and rescue them. I wonder if our attitude isn't the same sometimes. Jesus came to rescue sinners. Amen. That's what this story is about. And yet there's this attitude in the religious circle. I'm mad about that. I'm mad about the grace of God. And tragically, we saw it in the parable last week. We see it again here today. In the attitude of the older son, which is representing the Pharisees and the religious leader of the day, the unwillingness to come in to the feast. And I just wonder sometimes which attitude are we really like in the church today? Those of you that were here last week, you remember this. I told the story of Ruth Anna Metzger and her husband, Roy. And I'm not going to recall that story because you heard it last week, but I'm just going to ask us, are we too going to arrive at the feast on that day and be told, your name's not in the book? Because our attitude was like the older brother. Oh, we were religious, all right. Oh, we went down to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, all right. But we never came into the party. We never realized it's Jesus. It's Jesus, the way into the party. That's what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. And so, as we close here today, friends, I just want us to think, which brother am I really like? May we be like the younger brother, coming to our spiritual senses, knowing I am a sinner who needs a Savior, and being willing to come back to the Father in humility and surrender and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against humanity. Forgive me of that. I need Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my life and take control. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. My prayer is that we are like the younger and we come to our senses and realize Jesus is the only way to be part of that party. Let's sing this song to close. And if you're wondering about that here today, or if you're online, if you're on Facebook Live, and you're wondering, am I really like the younger one and have come to my senses, or am I more like the older? Then I just want you to go before the Lord in quiet prayer, just you and the Lord, and do like the younger son did. Father, forgive me. I realize I need Jesus. I've been doing things my own way. Come into my life and into my heart, Lord Jesus. Friends, I'm telling you, if the Bible is real, eternity is coming for all of us. And if we haven't decided about Jesus, if we've ignored the invitation like we saw in the parable last week, or if we've got the attitude of the Pharisees and the older son, we refuse to come in, then it's going to be too late. We close our eyes in death. Eternity is before us. Forever is before us. And it's too late. It's too late. So if you're still wondering about that, I'm just going to encourage you while we're singing this song, just you and the Lord. Come to Him like the younger son, by faith. And if you've done that today, please let me know, because I'm going to baptize two other people here next week. I'd love to baptize you too. No, I ain't going to have no tank, but we're going to baptize them because last week they put their faith in Jesus. And if that's you today, whether you're watching online or here, love to baptize you next week because you want to show the world, I have put my faith in Christ. Thank you again, Lord, for these reminders, like Luke 15 today, of your grace, of your mercy and your love and your willingness to forgive the vilest of sin. Father, I would pray today that in our mind we wouldn't be caught up in thinking, well, I'm not that bad. Matter of fact, I go to church some, but yet we have never come to faith in Christ. We have never received the invitation to the feast. I pray if that's our story today, that we too would come to our senses and cry out to you in repentant surrender, knowing that Jesus said we must be born again and come by faith to you, Father, through faith in your Son, Jesus. I pray for our nation. Our nation needs you, Lord. I pray that our nation would come to our spiritual senses. I pray that millions of Americans would come to faith in Jesus Christ and be radically transformed, convinced in our mind we need Jesus, and begin to follow Jesus. I pray for the people on this prayer list. Some have lost loved ones recently. Some are battling COVID again. Certainly there are cancers. I just pray, Father, for all those names and perhaps more that should be there. Those who are struggling in hospitals and care centers and alone at home struggling. We just lift them all up to you today, Father, and ask for your will to be done, for your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Go with us this day, Father. Use us for your glory. Help us to be light in a dark world. Help us to be salt in a world that definitely needs some preservation. Use us for your glory, O God. But it all starts with coming to faith in Jesus Christ. If we haven't gotten there, I pray, O God, that that's where we would start. Go with us now and the rest of this day into the new week and to the Thanksgiving season, being thankful to you, O God, for so many things. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.